sensing that without recalling standing on the hillside in Atlanta, Georgia, at the funeral of Martin Luther King, and Mahalia Jackson sang that a cappella for a quarter of a million people on the top of the hill. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let anyone who have ears listen. Let anyone who have ears hear. In spite of all of our attention to the television and computer monitors and iPhones and iPads and all that stuff, you know, radio is still the number one form of communication in our world. Remember when mothers used to tell their children, God gave you two ears and one mouth, so listen twice as much as you talk. Sounded good. Disciples heard this voice, come follow me. Despite our dependence upon hearing, we will say, seeing is believing. You have to look before you leap. You have to watch your back. I'm not exactly watch your back, but you have to watch your back. The church through the ages has had this sonic sound of spirituality. For the Roman Catholics, it's the Gregorian chant. Tim likes that one. Eastern Orthodox has the Jesus prayer chants. We have a book of hymns. Martin Luther insisted God is a speaking God. Isaiah said, listen that you may live. That the ears are the gateway to the soul. The sounds began right there in the book of Genesis. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, says the psalmist. And God said, the voice of the Lord is powerful, it's majestic. Cellular biologists concur. As biological beings, you and I are dancing energy. And that's a neat, a dancing energy. Not only does all the creation around us hum with the sounds of life, but your genes, your liver, your brain waves, every one of your cells vibrates. Cosmic vibrations are everywhere. Unless we hear phrases like, well, we got to get in tune with one another, or we're on the same wavelength. For all of the musicians, Joachim Ernst Behrendt was a German jazz theologian philosopher. And he tells us that the electron shell of the carbon atom follows the laws of harmonics, producing the tone scale C, D, E, F, G, A. A hexachord of Gregorian chant. And thus he pondered, could it be that all carbon-based life is built on the Gregorian chant? Tim would agree with. To sing is a sound thing to do. The church needs to stress listening as hard as it stresses looking. Come and see. Come and listen. Ears, listen. So the scripture told us, and by now you should know the story, of Samuel and Eli. And Samuel, who was this adopted son of the number one priest of Israel, Eli, helped around the temple. He was a PK, prophet's kid. And his other two sons, not so much. They took a piece of action from everybody that came anywhere near the temple. So it became quite well known that people no longer expected to hear a word from the Lord when they went to the temple. And this 12-year-old comes along and has this hearing. Samuel, Samuel, three times. And every time he ran to Eli, and Eli, although he was losing his eyesight, didn't know it was the Lord that was calling him. And he said, when the Lord calls, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. And Samuel thus heard the word of the Lord. Michael Luther King was born son of Martin in Alberta. There was an error on his birth certificate that wouldn't be corrected until he was 28 years old, and he was applying for a passport. Martin was the son and the grandson of preachers, a PK. Preacher's kid. I had four of those. He went around the temple doing chores. He went to Morehouse College, Crozier Seminary, received a doctorate from Boston University. And in 1954, he was installed in the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Now, the church is set right across the street from the Capitol. Remember where Jefferson Davis had been sworn in as president of the Confederate States of America. For Martin, it was an inherited religion, he believed. He said, I never felt an experience of God in the way that you must if you're going to walk this lonely path of life. And then came Rosa Parks and a telephone call. And his world changed. And our world changed. And those ones he admired and studied, Jesus and Gandhi, they were the key to his mission. From that day in December 1955, when Rosa refused to budge, until April 4th, 1968, King would experience suffering, humiliation. He would be jailed and stabbed and stoned and shouted down and finally shot down. But the vision of Martin Luther King Jr. was not rooted in the American dream. It was rooted in the gospel dream. King was a Baptist preacher, and one night he heard the voice of the Lord, Martin, stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice, stand up for truth. I will be with you even to the end of the world. I heard that voice say to me, fight on. And he did. But as with Samuel, the word wasn't going to be easy. It was a word to be followed that would cost some personal sacrifice and peril. These words followed them. Tomorrow we honor Dr. King. He knew the word in his heart. I have a dream. And every valley shall be exalted, every hill made low, the rough places made plain, the crooked places made straight, the glory of the Lord revealed, and all flesh together shall see it. Words of the prophet Isaiah, John the Baptist. It's a gospel vision, a gospel dream that he shared. The vision that was God-driven and Spirit-fired, testifying anew that this broken creation of ours is headed toward restoration. There will be a day, when the lambs and the wolves lie down together. But with Alan Bosack and Bishop Tutu and others, we cry, how long, O Lord, will my prayers be in vain? We have a new hymnal in the Presbyterian Church. It's called Glory to God. And in that, we have this new contemporary message. How long, O God, will my prayers be in vain? Moves from despair to the remembrance of God's nature. How long, O Lord? Not long, because you reap what you sow. How long, O Lord? Not long, because no lie will live forever. How long, O Lord? Not long, because the arm of the moral universe is long and it bends toward justice. How long, O Lord? Not long, because my eyes have seen the coming of the Lord. The prophet Habakkuk asked, how long shall I cry for help? And God spoke. The vision awaits its time. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. The righteous shall live by faith. In accepting the Nobel Prize, King said, I have an abiding faith in America, an audacious faith in the future of mankind. And I refuse to accept the view that mankind is tragically bound, that the bright daybreak of peace cannot be a reality. I believe that wounded justice, lying prostrate on the blood-flowing streets of our nations, can be lifted from the dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men. I believe that one day mankind will bow down before the altar of God. I believe faith can give us courage to face the uncertainties of the future, give our tired feet new strength as we continue our forward stride toward the city of freedom. Leonard Sweet, the theologian, asserted, our ear gate is much more developed than our eye gate. Our sense of hearing, our listening ability, was designed so that human beings might get in tune. Listen, the word of the Lord. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Not long. Down in the human heart, crushed by a tempter, feelings lie buried, but grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. And you can let it be so. Let it be so. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening.